Reflect on the servant song and a little bit on the servant, the large one that we sing on or hear on Friday. But there's one point here I just want to make. The challenge in being faithful to the Lord is precisely faith. Yielding to the truth at ever deeper levels of who Jesus really is. Matthew is very careful with this word, Lord. In his gospel, it is never on the lips of anyone who isn't in some way approaching Jesus. And so in this here, when he predicts this betrayal, they say, surely it is not I, Lord. But Judas says, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Matthew will not let him say Lord because he doesn't have faith. And the challenge is for us, are we going to grow in faith? Are we going to yield to the truth? It's going to cost us. Even just look at the moral demands the Lord makes. Forgive each other, love one another, you know, give to the poor, give time for prayer. To say nothing of the yielding of our heart in a very deep way to worship him, to adore him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Matthew, in that very subtle way, is telling us the root of Judas's betrayal is a lack of faith. Now we have what's called the third of the five servant songs. This time the servant speaks himself in a new way. And he speaks about being able to console the weary because morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear. And I have not rebelled, have not turned my back. And now I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. This is the mockery the soldiers did before the crucifixion. And when the gospel writers write that, they write it in a way that we're supposed to remember these words of the servant. Huh? But then, because Jesus is so committed to the will of his Father, the Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. They're beating me, making fun of me, mocking me, and pretty soon will crucify me. But I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame, knowing that the Father is going to support me through all of this, and all I have to do is yield to him, even when I can't find him, even when I cry out, why have you abandoned me? And in the deep, deep point of his spirit, the Father is there. Saint Therese has some wonderful lines about, I understand something of the cross, she said. These were the last years of her life when she was in utter darkness, you know, like an atheist. I'm going to die. They're going to put my body in a hole in the ground, and that's it. My life is a waste. Pressure, pressure, pressure from Satan. But in the depth of her spirit, knowing. Knowing. And so she says, in my own little way, I understand what happened to Jesus on the cross, because in the depth of my spirit, I rejoice in God, but my whole being is plunged in darkness and suffering. And that's what Jesus is saying. The Lord God is my help. Now, I just want to touch for a minute, because it brings to completion what we've been doing. This servant song, which we have on Friday. It begins, see, my servant, God's talking. My servant, Avdi. It's hard to realize how proud God is of somebody when he calls them my servant. It implies intimacy and obedience. My servant. My servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high. And the word that's used here is the word that John uses in the gospel all the time for the crucifixion, to be raised up and greatly exalted, even as many were amazed at him. And then we begin, huh? So marred was his look beyond human semblance, and his appearance beyond that of the sons of men. Man, so shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see, and those who have not heard shall ponder it. What God is announcing now is going to shake the whole world. Kings are going to be in awe. Who would believe what we have heard? This mystic, this prophet, is now going to describe this mystery of what we call vicarious suffering. How are the people ever going to come back from exile? And how, as his mind opens up, how are we ever going to return to God? And how are all the nations going to come and worship God? Somebody has to take all their sins. It's the example of Moses, who interceded and said, if you want to blot them out, blot me out too. There's the example of Jeremiah, who suffered carrying the word of God. But this goes beyond all that. And this mystic, he sees it. He understands this mystery of vicarious suffering. That's the root of the mystery of our own life, when we take whatever suffering we're going through and give it to the Lord. Take it, use it, do whatever you want with it. It's because it's joined to the mystery of the suffering of Jesus Christ, a human being who is God, plunged into the very midst of humanity. And so it starts. He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, no appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom other people hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. And now comes this insight that this man received from God. Yet, it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. Well, we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. Who wouldn't, looking at the cross? But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. This is the source of our Lord's healing ministry, according to St. Matthew. All the healing ministry of Jesus comes from his stripes. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. And the text goes on, huh? Because then it says, as it comes at the other end, because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Beyond the suffering is glory. God will never be outdone in generosity, and he will take care of his servant, who is his eternal son. Because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked, and he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. And there we touch on this mystery of vicarious suffering. Why did Jesus suffer? You see, to embody in his flesh an act of love that was so powerful, so rooted in all the darkness and evil of humanity, that it changed it and gave every one of us a chance for eternal life. We're joined to that by baptism, by faith. And every Eucharist is once again that offer of, let my suffering be profitable for you. And then give me your suffering so that together we can change this world.